final episode of this season and the final episode of our special two-part series, Hanina and Zahra. With Hanin and Zahra. This week, we end on a high note with my episode where I interview Zahra.
Yeah. It was you were great. Really good at it.
Thanks.
Did you used to interview people?
Oh my God, apparently I used to work in a magazine.
No.
It was a lovely episode, yeah. And you were so open and you talked about your journey and how you started and what a nerd you are. And it was just absolutely, it was incredible. And you told me I was your best friend.
You are. And you were actually really good at asking questions.
Aww,
and you brought out a good side of me, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
And I'm so, I can't believe it's the last episode.
I know, it is the last episode. We just wanted to say thank you guys for all your support, for all everything, and thank you to the person who left us one star. I'm still really salty about that. So if you have time, please go to Apple Podcasts, rate us 5. We'd love that.
Yeah, and the DMs we've been receiving, the feedback has been great, and the fact that you guys are still listening after 24 episodes, we're so grateful. And thank you so much, and we can't wait to come back next year bigger and better.
So have a happy, happy new year. And this is Candid
with Hanin and Zahra.
Hello, Zahra.
Hi.
Thank you for being my guest today.
Yes.
I'm very excited to interview you.
I'm nervous.
I don't think that there's anything about you that I still don't know, but I hope you provide me with some like little gems.
Oh, you would be surprised. I'm full of surprises, honey.
Oh, God. So thank you for sitting with me this
yes.
week. And today is the final, final episode of a season of 24 episodes. It's been a long one.
I know. I can't believe we've done a whole season.
And it's end of 2021. Mm. And it's just been great. Thank you, everyone, for the incredible feedback.
Yeah.
And now we get to, you know, get to know you a little bit more.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm going to ask you. Tell us about yourself in 30 seconds or less.
Can we just not do that next season? Because it's really annoying now.
Okay, fine. We'll find another annoying question.
Okay, in 30 seconds. So I'm Zahra. I'm originally from Iran, but I'm born and raised in the UAE.
It's hard,
it's
right?
It's a lot harder than I think. I started off with a blog, but like over a decade ago. And then the whole Instagram thing happened. Did that. I moved to London for my master's, came back, became, I guess, quote unquote, full-time blogger. And then got an opportunity to join Vogue Arabia, which was a dream come true. Got to launch the magazine, like the Arabic edition of Vogue, the print and online, and then decided to then go freelance and started my own agency in 2019, right before the pandemic happened. And then I started a podcast during the pandemic with Hanin.
Yay!
And here we are.
Amazing. Yeah. I love that. So, you know, your resume is pretty impressive, but I know this about you, but you weren't always a fashion girl.
Oh, no.
So tell us your super nerdy start academically.
I was hoping you wouldn't go there.
I'm totally going to go there.
So I grew up with two boys. I have two brothers, older brothers. So fashion was not a conversation we ever had at home. I mean, bless my mom, you know, she was wonderful, but she also wasn't very into fashion and beauty and stuff. So it was never something that I was around. And I always looked up to my brothers. They were like my idols for me. So I grew up super tomboyish, wore their hand-me-downs.
Oh my God, I can't
yeah,
imagine
I was like a boy, basically. So then, you know, they were very smart. They went into engineering and all that stuff, and that's what I wanted to do. So I went to, I did my undergrad in computer science. I know. And then also did visual communications, which is graphic design, and that's what I graduated my undergrad with. So I double majored, super
Amazing.
Nerdy, but loved it. Kind of wish I continued with computer science.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
I think because that's where everything's going.
Oh, so because it's techie now.
Yeah, I mean, if I could do more tech, be more in the tech industry, I'd love that, and that's something I'm actually like working towards, hopefully. But yeah, I did that. And then moved to graphic design, and that's where my creativity came out. Because according to my parents, when I was younger, I was much more creative. I used to paint and draw, and I won awards when I was a kid.
You?
Oh my God, yeah. What? When I was in third grade, I became first in the drawing, in painting, I think it was. Yeah. Between all the schools in Dubai, I was first from the third graders.
Oh, wow. I did not know that about you.
See?
Okay. Yeah. Full of surprises.
Yeah. My pictures in the newspaper and everything.
Check you out, going viral before viral was a thing.
So I did that. And then after I graduated from university, I worked in an art gallery, Teşkil, which was an incredible experience, and the people I met were incredible as well, and they're still in my life, and they've been my supporters from day one. So I worked in an art gallery for about 3 years, and then that's when I moved to the UK for my master's. Mm-hmm. So I did my master's in new media production, which is basically all the new media, like websites, apps, and all the techie stuff again, but focused on the fashion industry, because that's when I had started my blog.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, what's this new world that I didn't know anything about? And yeah, that's how it started.
So what was that? What was the moment where you thought, that's it, I'm not doing computer anymore. That's my passion really is fashion.
Oh God.
I know.
I hate that.
It just had to, I had to say it.
You had to include it. I think it was when I started the blog.
What was the trigger though? What was the moment where you said, I'm going to open a blog. I'm going to start a blog. I'm going to post about clothes.
Yeah. Well, this was back in 2007 or 8, mm-hmm. when I'm like, ooh, you know what? I'm liking this. I'm a bit older now. And I like to get dressed like a girl rather than a boy. And I started reading a lot more fashion magazines. And back then it was quite difficult to get your hands on international editions of magazines, and they used to be so expensive, and they'd come out really late. And that's when also I had access to internet, and I was reading websites and stuff, and blogs from the US, and I was like, this is fun. I have stuff to say. I don't know if anyone's going to read it. I don't care, but I want to. It was an outlet, because before I had my blog, I actually had an online journal. Oh, yeah, I'm all about a diary girl.
You love journaling.
Yeah, so I had a journal on LiveJournal, if anyone remembers And I used to talk about my day. So then when I started reading blogs, I'm like, you know what? I want to do this. I have computer science background. I can build a website myself. So I started on Blogspot. So I'm really building a website. And then in 2009, I launched the blog. Literally just talked about anything and everything. I never included myself in it. It was more about my love for the creativity in fashion rather than myself. And then once it started to pick up a little bit, that's when people were like, oh, we want to see your style. And then I started taking pictures. I'd make my housekeeper take pictures of me because there was no one there. In my room and stuff. And yeah, that's how it started.
Amazing.
Yeah, it feels like a million years ago.
I know. It is a million years ago, unfortunately.
We were young and plumper and more confident.
I know, and skinnier. Yeah. With more metabolism and a tolerance for high
faster,
heels.
Faster, yes.
Oh, God.
The good old days.
So then you decided to go to London.
Yes.
How did that happen? Why London, first of all?
So listen, when I graduated high school, I was only 16. And I wanted to go to the U.S. like my brothers did. But my dad was completely against it. He's like, no, you stay here, study here. So when I finally had a chance to leave, I'm like, I'm leaving. I need to get away. I want to grow up. So when the opportunity came to go to London, my father agreed. So I was like, I'm doing this now before he changes his mind. And that's why we did London. And London has some of the best schools in fashion. So I went to I did a postgraduate degree before. I'm a total nerd. If I could study for the rest of my life, I would. I'm so eager to also get a PhD. I don't know in what, but I would love to do that.
Oh, wow.
So I did an undergrad, a postgraduate degree at Central St. Martin's, and then I did my master's at London College of Fashion.
Oh, I didn't know about St. Martin's.
Yeah.
See, I only thought you went to LCF.
I don't tell you everything, Hanin.
I know. Yeah. Why does it take me having to sit you here with a microphone to know more about you? So how was it moving from Dubai to London? You've never lived anywhere else.
No, this was my first time living away from my family
and
as well.
And how was that?
It was great. I mean, initially I was a bit nervous because it's a completely different world. You know, you're so cocooned here. And when you do go to the UK, you live like a tourist. So everything's so exciting.
Of course.
You know, but living there is very different. But I really needed it to grow up. I mean, I did laundry for the first time while I was there. I know. I started cooking for the first time, if you consider heating up.
Guys, Zahra doesn't cook. So by cooking, it's microwaving something.
Basically heating things up. I really needed it because I matured.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, everyone needs... And I know I was like, 23?
Yeah.
24, actually. So it was about time. But yeah, it really taught me how to take care of myself, how to do things, how to be an adult. And also that's where I'm at, my husband.
Aww.
So that's always good. But yeah, it was a really good experience and I wouldn't change it for the world.
And what made you come back to Dubai versus stay in London?
Listen, I'm sure a lot of people that are based in Dubai know this, that when you leave, you can't wait to come back.
Yeah.
You know, the convenience of living in Dubai, and my whole family is here. You know, we've been here our whole life. So Dubai is home for me. Also visa issues. But I was just like, you know what, let's go back and see what happens. And I moved back in 2014. 14 or 13, end of 2013. And I was actually looking for a job. I'm like, I have a master's degree now. I'm going to find a great job. And then that's when the whole blogging industry blew up in Dubai. And I had continued blogging while I was in London as well. And when I came back, I won the Grazia Style Awards for best blogger.
Ooh.
I know. And that just like catapulted me into like, oof, that was it. And
amazing.
I was like, listen, I'm doing really well with this. It's become like a full-time job. Let me just do it. So I just rode the wave.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Such a winner.
Right?
Yeah. You love excelling at things. I like that.
I'm a bit of a nerd with stuff like that.
You are. Yeah. But I like that. Mm. That's why I love you.
Oh.
So then you came back. You started blogging.
I continued blogging. Yes. Yeah.
Well, you started blogging as a career.
As a full-time. Yeah. Yeah.
So you started blogging as a full-time kind of thing.
Yeah. But I was also freelancing, actually. As a graphic designer, because that's what I was by trade.
Okay.
And then all the incredible experience I had, you know, I was freelance styling in London and freelance like doing graphic design. Mm. I was also interning at Harper's Bazaar UK. Like, I was just juggling a lot of things. So all of that experience really helped me when I moved back to Dubai. So while I was blogging and, you know, quote unquote, influencing or whatever you want to call it, I was also doing all these other things because like it's not enough, you know. I like to put my hands into everything.
Yeah.
I want to do everything.
Yeah.
So I did that for quite some time. And then in 2016, I got the Vogue Arabia offer, that was what I was working towards, like working at Vogue. And I didn't think there would be a UAE edition, like a Middle Eastern edition. So when that happened, I said yes. So I was there. What an experience to launch the magazine in the Middle East, both the print and the website. And one of my biggest things I did was I got the first interview with Gigi Hadid. It's actually on YouTube.
Oh my God, wow.
Yes, when she first came to the UAE because she was our cover girl for the launch. And I had to organize the whole thing and I got to interview her for, if you check it on YouTube, it's got like more than a million hits and stuff.
Oh, check you out.
That was really fun and she was wonderful. So,
what is she like?
Really nice, very shy.
Really?
But that was around the beginning of her career-ish, you know? So obviously I'm sure she's much more relaxed now. But she was quite shy and her voice was really shaky.
Aww.
But bless her. I made her say, hi, I'm Gigi Hadid in Arabic, which was great. But yeah. And then once we launched the magazine, I think about a year later, I left and decided to start my own thing. And then that's when I started the other agency, which is a social media and content creation agency.
Which is amazing.
That's my baby now.
You have incredible clients.
Thank
and you're doing
you.
Such an amazing job.
Thank you. So, yeah.
When you have time for me, I might become a client of yours.
I don't know if you can afford me, babe.
I cannot possibly because you are just next level. No, but you're doing such a good job.
Thank you.
But what is it like going from the comfort of being in something as prestigious as Vogue to then launching your own thing out of nowhere in the middle of a pandemic?
Yeah.
How is that? Tell me a little bit about that.
So listen, leaving Vogue was very difficult. Like, I think one of the most difficult things I did because I was like, I needed a change and I was going through a few things. you know, like mentally, like personally in my life. So when I left, it was really difficult because when you're in a position where you're an editor at Vogue, the respect that comes with that, the not popularity, but everyone suddenly wanted to be your friend. And you know how like I wear my heart on my sleeve. So when I left, it was very much like radio silence from everyone. Yeah. And that really, really affected me. Like, forget the fact that my confidence already isn't, you know, the imposter syndrome and all that yeah. stuff. So when that happened, it hit me really, really hard. And before I started the agency, I was in, it was horrible. I've spoken about this before. I try to speak about it as much as I can because when I was going through it, I thought I was alone and it was very, very dark. So that took a few years for me to really crawl out of that hole. There are days that I still end up putting my foot in that hole, but it's a lot better. So that was really, really tough. And then thankfully I have incredible people that I'm surrounded with, like you and all my other friends, and they really helped me, and my husband, of course, and family. They really helped me kind of pull myself out and start living again. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's
yeah,
like
you feel stuck.
Yeah, it's that. Just crippling. It's just you do nothing.
Yeah.
So once I slowly came out of that, that's when I was like, okay, Zahra, that's it. Like, you can't keep feeling sorry for yourself. The industry is really fickle anyway. So like, just move on, you know, keep doing what you want to do. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks or says. You have a great support system. You know your crap, like you know your ish, you know, so just do it.
Yeah.
And that's when I just picked myself up and started the agency. And now, yeah.
Amazing.
So excited where I am.
So you've always been very vocal about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been vocal about it online.
Yes.
Have you ever gotten any kind of backlash? Has anyone ever said something where you regretted sharing?
Oh my God. Good question. No, I haven't. Which is great.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I haven't. But also, don't they say when you have hate or you get haters, that means you've made it?
No. So. There are some people that don't have haters, like Paul Rudd. You can't hate Paul Rudd. He's incredible. So like...
Yeah, no, I haven't.
Not necessarily.
It's actually been really good. I think I get a lot of like DMs with people relating to what I'm going through and really being thankful for like... I don't want to sound so like, oh, I'm like Mother Teresa. I'm not. But I wish when I was going through that, there were other people telling me that they were too, so that mm-hmm. I didn't feel alone. So that's the whole purpose of why I'm sharing it. It's not like for clout or anything like that. But the response has been really good. The people have reached out when they've had issues, and I've given them like contacts of therapists and doctors that they could go see that could potentially help them. But yeah, no hate so far.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
The first time you decided to share something, like a part of you that was so vulnerable, what was going through your mind? Were you like, I'm just going to do it? Or were you like, oh my God, what are people going to say?
Oh my God, yeah. Always, what are people going to say? I mean, thanks, Dad, for putting that in my head. But yeah, always. I remember the first few times I would want to post about it, I would just delete it and just let it go. And then eventually, I think like the 10th time, I was like, you know what, just do it. And I posted it and it was incredible. I didn't want any pity or anything like that. I just wanted to show that, like, you know, life is tough for everyone. I remember the first time I posted it when I was actually at my therapist's office because I had just gotten horrible news. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to post about it and see what happens. And I probably would never do that again. But on the moment, I did. And the response was
amazing.
Yeah. From people sharing their story to people saying that they're there for support as well. So that's really good.
So do you feel like a lot more people have struggles that they don't show, or are more people just normal, happy people?
Listen, especially with what happened the last few years, I think everyone goes through something. There are people that are happy and like they're doing their thing and that's great, but it's not always like that. And when we're in that situation, we forget that there are other people that are in this situation. We always think when something bad happens to you, you think it's just you and the world. And we think that the world revolves around us because it's our issue.
Yeah.
But this has also made me realize that everyone goes through everything. Like, it's all like sometimes it's a facade, because I do that. There are days that I post and I'm like super happy, but I'm not really.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going through something rough. I think it's just about being vulnerable. It not only does it help you, but it also helps whoever is watching or listening. I think we need more of that nowadays. No one's perfect. No one's life is perfect.
So when you're on social media and you see all of these perfect lives, how do you feel? Oh, how does that make you feel? I'm just like taking out all our car conversations.
I know. Oh my God. I fall for it every time. Every time I fall for it, I'm like, oh, they're doing this. Oh, this person's doing that. Oh, I could have been doing this. Oh, that was the project I almost did, you know? But you kind of just have to go like, it wasn't meant for me.
Yeah.
And I have my path. They have their path. Everyone has their own paths. Mm-hmm. And you just have to remind yourself of how far you've come. I think that's one thing. We've mentioned this before where we forget.
Yeah.
So just remembering what you've done and, you know, there are better things coming. Honestly, I know it's really cliche to say think positively and whatever, but it does help.
How do you get yourself out of that mental hole?
So I started a morning routine. Oh my God, it's so important. You know me, I wake up like the crack of dawn.
Oh my God, she wakes up freakishly early. Like, it's weird.
So I've established a really good morning routine that works for me. And it helps me start my day in a better note and a little bit more in control of how I feel. And that has really, really helped me. Because when I don't do my morning routine, I feel like, oh my God, I'm all over the place. Yeah. And then I start overthinking and then I start doubting myself. And then slowly you're just going into that back into that hole. So a morning routine has been so vital for me. And I've read every self-help book you could find.
Literally all of them.
Yeah. And like, I'm always researching on things like that because I love that. And it's really helped.
Is there like a practical tip that you can give us? Like a little exercise or whatever, or a little hack that you could give us when you're feeling horrible?
Honestly, you're going to hate it, but I'm going to say write it down.
Oh, God.
Listen, it doesn't have to be like you don't have to write down a whole like...
But what do you write down? You write down how exactly you're feeling, or you write down whatever comes to mind, or what do you put on paper?
So basically I do a brain dump. Mm-hmm. So what, because I overthink and I have a million different like tabs open in my brain. So I just write everything that's in my head. I don't stop to think about grammar or anything like that. I just dump it all out. And then when you just put it out, you kind of see what it is and you realize, okay, then looking at what I've written down, I can do this, I can do that to fix it, I can do this. Because sometimes in your head, you're just like, it's not going to happen, it's not going to work, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But when you actually think about it, you're like, no, I can solve this issue by doing A, I can solve this one by doing B. So writing things down and just getting it out of your head can make you see clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. I think that's been something that I do all the time, and like to-do lists, and I just like writing things down.
Okay.
And it really helps.
Okay, I might try that, actually.
You should. I've been telling you since when.
I know. I actually bought a journal for 2022, but I've just not started writing in it.
Do it.
Okay.
I'll
let you know how it goes.
Yeah.
So, moving on.
Yes.
Being an entrepreneur and owning your own business.
Yes.
What is that like for you? Because you have a totally different business than I do, with a different set of struggles and different kind of service that you provide.
Yeah.
How is it for you running your own business? Is it tough? Is it easy?
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, it's so good. I'm at my own boss. I'm at the beach in the morning. And no, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time management. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's all about just getting the job done and not overthinking it. And like, we juggle so many different things, like with the podcast and this, and then Instagram and then the business and all of that stuff. So it's not easy, but it's so fulfilling. Because you're doing your own thing and you set your own rules, you know, and it's a lot more work. Even when I was at Vogue, it's way more work than when I was in publishing. But at least it's for me, you know, and I get to do it for me. And at the end, it's my name, my reputation, and I would do anything to keep that, you know, going well. So it's very, very difficult, but it's very, very fulfilling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I like that. What was the hardest kind of thing you've ever had to overcome when starting your own business? What was the thing that you're like very proud of yourself for overcoming?
Actually doing it.
Okay.
You
so the
know
first
me.
Step.
Yeah. Mm. You know how I am.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I talk about something and then like I don't do it for the next year because it's that self-doubt that what if it doesn't work out, or what are people going to say, or Am I even good at it? Is it worth it? You know, I think it's just actually getting it done and taking that step to make it into a proper agency and actually hiring the right people and pitching. Oh my God, like putting yourself out there. You know how it is. You know how scared I am to put myself out there and talk about myself. Even this is like just doing this is quite difficult.
No, but you're doing well. You're being very like transparent and
trying,
forthcoming.
But yeah, I think it's just the taking that first step and then continually taking the first step for everything.
So give me a bit of advice for anyone listening to us that wants to start their own business. From a business lady like yourself.
Oh my God. just do it. I can't express how important it is to just put your foot down and just do it. Don't overthink. Don't obviously have a plan. We should have a plan with everything, but just start. Mm-hmm. Start somewhere. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you procrastinate. Sometimes fear takes over. Sometimes you're just like, you're not good enough. But when you start, you realize, what? Why was I stressing? Like, I could have done this yesterday. Yeah. I could have done this like 5 years ago, you know? So if you just start and then just keep starting, keep taking that first step and you'll eventually get to where you want.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
So I'm going to ask you my final question.
Yes.
What is next for you?
Oh, my God. Well, season two of Candid. continuing with the agency, just spending more time with friends and family and really making more time for myself as well. And some other things that, like, I don't want to jinx. So
can't divulge.
I don't want to be that person be like, oh my God, I can't talk about it right now. But yeah, like there's so many things happening and I'm so happy that I've taken all these steps to do it. And just being happy, I guess.
Amazing. I'm really happy that you're at a point in your life now where you can say this, because I know that you've gone through a really rough few years now. So yeah. It's so nice seeing your friend just like thrive, and you really are. So I'm very proud of you. Don't cry.
Here comes the tears.
Don't cry. She's gonna cry. Oh God. Let me tell her something mean. You suck.
You're never nice to me. Be mean.
I'm very proud of you. You're doing a phenomenal job.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And we're really happy about all the feedback that we're getting. It's been incredible. So tune in, and we can't wait to see you in season two.
Thank you so much.
Bye.